and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday. Oh, my gosh, what a week it is. It's only Tuesday, March 26th. I got that right, 2019.
You almost said 18, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. I'll let you. Okay.
I was feeling 18.
Oh, okay.
I was feeling 18. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I like it when it's hectic. So, again, put a little pressure on gold today. Let me go ahead and so I'm really a little sidetracked here. You have gold, a little pressure on gold today, 570 to the downside, 1316. Silver is down 11 pennies at 1551. Platinum was up a dollar at 862, and palladium was down a big 2% at $32. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thinking maybe it's an interesting, and I've been talking about this, that platinum has actually been outperforming palladium percentage-wise, and that was a big drop of $32 today, and even rhodium was higher, and we saw palladium and rhodium kind of tagging along together on this historic rise for palladium. But so kind of interesting there. Don't know if it's just taking a pause for its next leg upward, but I don't think so. I think we probably have seen the highs for palladium. The dollar is strong today by 0.24 at 96.77. Crude oil was up 121, up 60. And the paper markets today, they're just, they are roaring. The Dow was up 141 points, 25,653. The NASDAQ was up 54, and the S&P was up 20 at 2,818. 10-year yield still hovering at 2.41 in those low 40s, 2.41%. Japan, basically came back the same amount it was down yesterday, reversed itself. And so it's, it's just, there are some financial news reports out today. You had U.S. housing starts that fell on weak single family home building. Home prices in January saw the smallest gain in nearly 4 years. You have U.S. auto sales are falling. Cars are more expensive now than ever. It's not only the bond market that's saying not only a recession is coming, but the Fed is also going to be cutting rates to stop it. Yeah, things are great, right, Butch?
They are. And, yeah. Another housing bit of news. I never would have thought this. Of course, I'm a baby boomer generation, and a lot of folks of my age and over the years wanted to build their dream home, so to speak, and they wanted to, have it in a nice warm climate, and that's an admirable goal, I guess you could say. But now they had the problem. They're realizing that the house they built when they had children are too big, and they want to sell them, but they can't sell them. They're too big to sell. No one's buying big houses, it seems like. The homes are kind of elaborate, and they worked for them, they earned them, and then of course I moved down in the Sun Belt, but now this just turned around. That it's shifted a lot since since early 2000s. As people are not wanting large ornate homes built in years that they now favor smaller homes, and it's even showing TV now. I don't watch it. I don't like it. I think Marcy, once in a while, I forget, mini homes or whatever it is, small houses, I don't know. They build them so they're portable. They put them on wheels if they want to. And that's what people get into. They don't particularly care about buying big homes now. So the baby boomers are trying to downsize, I guess put some more money back for their golden years, and they can't sell their houses. Now that, I never 20, 30 years ago, you didn't think about that. But today you are. Tiny houses, name of the show, tiny houses. So things are changing a lot in people's mindsets, Melody, as far as property values or property that they desire. I mean, that's just, what can I say? Our generation, if you build a big home and now you're stuck with it, what are you going to do? You can't sell it. Maybe get the point you can't even afford to keep it up, but what are you going to do?
Walk away.
Well, I guess, yeah, walk away, let it rot, I guess, huh?
But you know what? You know, the real reason behind it, though, too, is, again, the costs. I'll guarantee you they don't want to leave. I mean, certainly a larger home is a little harder to take care of as you get older and so forth. But, I mean, I'll guarantee you they don't want to move. But the cost, the expenses of living there,
the taxes,
property taxes.
Yes, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. It makes me mad every time I hear it.
I do, too. You and I agree there. I mean, that just irritates the heck out of me. But so, again, and the thing of it is, builders... You know, they seem to continue to be building bigger and bigger homes. So again, no one is getting back to the true problem of our situation, the true reason of our problems, and that's our dollar.
Yep, I agree. I don't think they ever will, yeah. Melody. Most of them have no idea what's even going on. The people I explain this to, even with examples of silver dollars versus paper dollars, whatever. Some of them are really astounded. Some of them understand after explanation, but no one seems to care enough that won't do anything about it. I said, won't you start ordering a little bit of silver coins and gold coins along the way? They're planning for the future. Oh, well, we'll think about it, or we might, or we can't afford it. I couldn't afford it either when I started doing it, but I'm so glad I did it. And I really and truly am so blessed and happy that I did do it a little bit at a time. At least now I can afford to pay the taxes on my home, but I hate to do it, and upkeep it. At 70 years old, I'm still not rich, but financially comfortable, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I know what you mean. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, people can't or don't want to stay in the larger homes. And people are conditioned also. You know, people have been conditioned. You're manipulated through advertisements. You're manipulated through the media on types of homes that you should be buying and so forth and whatnot. And people have been conditioned to believe that a home is an investment and that the price will always rise. And then people also get to a point where perhaps they have debt or they haven't saved and they need more out of their homes than what it's really worth. You know, maybe that's why they're selling or why they can't sell their homes. And your home is only as valuable as what somebody will pay for it.
That's true.
Your home is, and Bob Chapman used to say this all the time, your house depreciates. Because the amount of money you spend in there, the upkeeps, the repairs, you lose money in a home, basically, you know, unless you were able to buy it for $35,000 back in 1975,
right.
And you lived in it all these years, and now you have $1 million home, you know, in California. That has happened to a lot of people in California, but that's not most cases. And so it's a depreciating asset. It's not, you know, and that's how you have to look at it. But we've been conditioned to believe differently.
Well, yeah, well, inflation makes it sound like it's worth more, Melody, but it's worth
yeah,
about the
exactly.
same because of inflated dollars. So there's really not, you're right, absolutely right. But, you know, I was just reading the day about reverse mortgages, and lots of people are getting reverse mortgages so they can have money coming in every month for whatever reason. But when that's over with, they don't end up owning their homes. The families either pay for them or lose them. So there's nothing left actually for the inheritance, is there?
No, you know. But I mean, it's money they would have sent if they would have sold their home anyway, and they would have, you know, spent it anyway. So,
you know,
I think reverse mortgages are suitable for some and suitable for, you know, are not suitable for others. It is it really depends on each situation whether they're good for you or not. If you plan on, you know, giving it to your children and passing it on and so forth, yeah, reverse mortgages aren't good. If you have a small family, you don't have children, and it's like, you know,
why not?
I
can see that for that reason.
Nursing home.
I could see that for that reason. I really could. You know, and years ago, I put our propped into a trust so it can't be seized for different reasons. I like my son's some inheritance, so they certainly won't get wealthy off of it. But you know, my dad bought his house he lived in from 1965 to passed away in 2016 for $8,000, and he didn't do a lot to it except maintenance. He didn't do a lot to add a room or two on it, and put in a two car garage. But you know, even when he sold it. We put it up 2017. Inflation wise, he didn't gain anything. We got $55,000 out of it. Now it sounds like a lot of difference, but over a 40-year span of inflation, that's not a big profit, is it?
No, it isn't.
You know, and people don't think about that. But 1965, a dollar is still worth $15 of today's dollars.
Yeah.
Now you know, so the house didn't appreciate that much over, obviously. That'd been $120,000 if it would have. So we didn't even break even on the original deal. Now that's the way it is. People think about it. This is what inflation does. It's a way to steal from you, from your earnings, and increase your taxes. Boy, are we suckers or what? Keep on printing the money worth nothing. Nothing. The only thing that makes a dollar bill work is because we think it works. If we lost confidence in it, it wouldn't be worth a piece of paper. That's it. So that's why Melanie keeps telling you, and I keep telling you, you need to look at something a little more stable than a piece of paper in your pocket or a so-called asset in the bank or even in a stock market. If you don't have tangible assets, you have nothing. You have air or paper at best. Now, Melanie, that's I know it's kind of straightforward, but it's the truth, is it not?
It really is. Of course it is. And a lot of people don't learn until after the situation, until they've actually lost something. But so I hope that's not our listeners.
So I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. If they were that way, they wouldn't be listening to us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I almost got into a situation about vaccination. Anyway, we're not going to talk about the date. Hey, what do you think of this... what's his name? Smollett.
Oh, my! I wasn't even going to talk about that. But seeing how you brought it up.
Mullet?
Yeah.
Smollett? What do you think about? You know, let me hear your thought first real quick. We won't spend too much time on this.
If you and I would have done that, we'd been in jail or on the way to jail. But he was a black sodomite, black queer, black homosexual. So he slid. And he got some community time. But the police chief is also a black man in Chicago. Is not happy about that at all. They put in hours of investigation. Spent tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars on investigating what happened. And to come to find out, now folks, I'm going to make it up. You'll find this out in the future. This was even partially planned by Obama. I'm not making it up. You'll find out. You'll hear it in the future. Had a little bit to do with this. So it was all planned, instigated to cause more hate and strife between the races, and it didn't work out the way he wanted to, but he was turned loose, basically, with no penalty hardly at all. And that's my opinion. We got snookered. He walked off scot-free, and maybe they'll get a little deeper in this situation than what just for Smollett himself planned it. There's more to it than that, but that'll come out more in the future. Now, what's your opinion?
You know, I thought the most interesting thing about this is that his case is sealed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, yes.
And it's like, well, why? I mean, to me, in the beginning, I thought it was, you know, it was horrible. It was a perfect example of these people running amok and so forth. But, you know, to me, it was just like, oh, good grief. You know, just another idiot, blah, 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 and so forth. And, you know, let them... But they were going to do something.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is in my simple ways, I do see this as a hate crime. But he hurt himself. So, you know, it's... You know, he beat himself up and...
Yeah.
You know,
also, it's a hate crime in reverse. They wouldn't feel... Yeah, really.
So
they
wouldn't
feel sorry for
why,
him, but it turned out he hated us.
You know, he's an actor that's got a lot of attention. And, you know, but once they took it for charges and so forth to have it all dropped, that is very odd.
Yes, it
and
is.
His case was sealed. So to me, when the story first came out, I thought, oh, good grief, just another stupid situation run by these idiots and so forth. And I really didn't pay that much attention to it. In fact, I thought it got too much attention on mainstream media. You know,
oh, they wanted to. They really wanted to play it up. They wanted that.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And that was my point. It's just like, oh, good grief, you know. Get over whatever you have to get over and let's move on and talk about real things. It's a distraction, ladies and gentlemen. But to see that this case was sealed, I find that really interesting. Why
You'll
would you have to
have higher sealed? Powers? Higher powers,
yep,
in this mess. I mean,
exactly.
There really is, and that goes back to Obama. I'm not making this up. I'm telling this from good sources. It plays back to Obama and one of his things that he wants to do to cause more strife in America and hate among races. And since you're on a kind of topic,
but here the thing in West Virginia, you can't prove that though.
Well, I doubt you can prove it, but you know, it's just like.
So you can't prove it, but it's
just like with why they come after Trump so hard. We know that even Obama was probably behind that to a point. You can't prove it, but things are kind of obvious.
It, but we can group it together as a side.
Absolutely.
And the people that are, you know. So
absolutely.
I mean, I agree with you there. Yes.
But here in West Virginia, in Charleston, they kicked out a bunch of, we'll say, poor class people in the area. I kicked them out of their homes. Moved them out, put them in a substandard housing in Charleston area. They're building brand new houses, the tune of almost $90 million with my money, state taxpayers. And guess who they're going to put there? Free of charge. Muslims. Everything paid for. The houses, their cars, their phones, the health care, all paid for. After we build them brand new homes in Charleston, West Virginia, they're going to put them in there. They kicked out the blacks and the whites, the poor section, moved them to different part of town, and building brand new housing for the Muslims. And they're even going to tear down a business right there in that little community and put in a mosque. Isn't that good of West Virginians?
Yeah, it is.
Tell you what. Now, this makes me angry, and I'm not going to let stand at that. We are going to make a move on this. I don't know if we can stop it. We're going to speak about it anyway. I'll be getting in touch with the governor's office real soon and some other people to let them know that we don't like this. We don't want to see this happening, and therefore we're going to stand up against it. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But it certainly won't hurt to try.
Well, certainly if you use the issue and not take it to, you know, tax dollars going to something that, you know, you disagree with. For anybody.
Well, exactly.
For anybody.
I totally agree. So I think it's time that, you know, that we at least say something. Maybe we can't stop it. Maybe we probably can't. But we can at least speak up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, keep us posted on that.
I will. Oh, it's break time already. Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, I did go by quick. And it's Tuesday, March 26th. And you're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
We will find acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And of course, these radio programs are archived there, and you can listen live every day, Monday through Friday, just so when that bar at the top turns red, to click on it, and you should be able to listen to the program live. And during the break, we were talking about, I saw a report from, and it's actually from the Washington Free Beacon, and I guess there was an executive order issued today that an electromagnetic pulse has the potential to disrupt, degrade, and damage technology and critical infrastructure system. This was written in the new executive order. Human-made or naturally occurring EMPs can affect large geographic areas, disrupting elements critical to the nation's security and economic prosperity, and could adversely affect global commerce and stability. So this is a new executive order, and this executive order advances increased resilience to the electromagnetic pulse events by directing better data gathering, testing, and private sector coordination to implement protective measures. The White House said in a statement accompanying the new order, the executive order also instructs departments and agencies to coordinate and streamline these efforts while fostering in an environment through strong administration leadership that promotes private sector innovation to strengthen our critical infrastructure. I'm not sure what it all means. It doesn't really say or give steps. It's just saying, hey, folks, we need to pay attention to what's going on and, you know, get more data on it and so forth. So but it's kind of interesting that it was at least addressed. So, Butch.
Well, do you think? I mean, I hope something does come out of this. I really do, because I mean, this could be. If that does happen, and we're not ready, it could really cripple this country. It could destroy everything in this country economically and other way. Can you imagine people not having electricity for could be 6 months or longer? That's kind of scary.
Well, it is, but I mean, we can adapt. We do adapt. However, that's having no power is not my biggest concern when there is no power. Let's take a look at what happens in Venezuela when power does go out. You have that social unrest, and that is
that's the point. That's the point. Scared me. You and I, maybe we can survive a while. I would long say I've been electricity in my home here is 11 days, almost 2 weeks. And we survive pretty well. I have alternative heat. We could cook on other measures. We didn't go hungry. Matter of fact, we kind of enjoyed it. It was quiet time. We could get together and talk and play cards and play checkers and spend more family time. I know it sounds really absurd, but we did. But if it went up for months, and if it happened in major cities, maybe major metropolises where people cannot take care of themselves, How long before the food stores are raided and neighbors are raided? It could happen, Melody. It really could. It happened, as you said, in Venezuela. It could happen in America. And maybe even worse in America because there's more of us. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure there were not a whole lot less moral than Venezuela's population was. So it could be nasty. Really
it
nasty.
It could be very nasty.
So I hope to do something.
Yeah,
hope
I do,
do
too.
Something. I truly do. People, please prepare yourself for something like that. Maybe it won't happen. But if it doesn't, the worst that could happen, you got to eat the food you stored. Big deal. I eat store food once in a while. I have some. I mean, what's the big deal about that? Oh, it doesn't happen? Eat it. Or pass it on to your children. They can eat it, for goodness sake. But you've heard of Neiman Marcus, right?
Needless markup?
Neiman Marcus.
No, I know, yes. Needless markup.
I guess they're... I've seen them. I've heard that. I guess they're a fairly high-class clientele-type business. Is that true?
It's what?
Kind of a high-class clientele. They sell expensive products.
Exactly.
Looks like they may be going under, seriously. Hmm. It looks like they may be defaulting on some payments. Neiman Marcus. Who would have thunk it? You know, so I don't know. But I just the headline says this: Neiman Marcus in debt talks makes it easier to bet it will fail. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I mean, it's just another retailer, and you know, if you look at Neiman Marcus, then yeah, I mean, it's you know, the one percenters probably don't shop there. They probably go to even higher end, and you know, the other 99% can't afford it. So, they might be falling in the range of, you know, they're just not in that. They've lost their. What am I trying to say? I guess they lost their
appeal.
Their target. You know, they've lost their target. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but how many businesses in the last few months have we discussed on here that are having a hard time? I mean, how many brick and mortar stores have we seen close down since we've been doing a radio show together?
Well, a lot of them are these types of stores.
Thousands.
Yeah. A lot of these are types of stores that were, you know, everybody is saying they're blaming online selling. I don't think that's the only reason, but, you know, that's what people seem to gravitate towards. But like I said, Neiman Marcus, you know, I don't think it's, you know, people of wealth that can afford that. You know, they have their own shoppers. They have their own, they live in a different world. So I think, you know, that maybe they're getting affected somewhat by the shift. That we're seeing the split between those and that have and those that don't have. So I don't know.
We'll discuss that more in a minute too. Yeah, that's happening especially in a place like San Francisco. But I was reading another report here that consumer confidence crashed the most since 2008. And, you know, the confidence they had when Trump got in office, it was going to boom and everything's going to be great. And it looked up really good. Everybody started getting excited about a better economy and all this coming together. Well, two years later, it's crashed more than it has since October 2008. So that makes you kind of wonder. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason even markets and other businesses are having a hard time, because people just aren't buying. They're not going. They won't spend that kind of money. You know, with consumer confidence, I guess you say attitude towards the economy can make a difference in dollar sales, can it?
Well, absolutely it can, you know. And usually you'll see that, you know, also follow through from, you know, little pressures on the stock market and things like that. But I think people get it. And I think people are beginning to figure it out, you know, that they're not as, you know, they are having difficult times paying their bills. And now they're beginning to worry about their jobs. You know, that's usually when you see a little bit of consumer confidence slip, is people are beginning to worry about their jobs. How secure are their jobs? And, you know, if we had it, and you know, all the talk of recession and so forth, yeah, now they're beginning to be concerned that they will be losing their jobs, and every right they should be, you know, with technology replacing so many of them. And you know, we might think that the EMP is an important part of protecting this nation of what can happen, but also when people are losing their jobs and no place to go, when they're being replaced by technology and computers and robots, that government hasn't addressed. what's going to happen to people. Certainly, we talk about UBI all the time. You know, that's why they're pushing that so much. But, big issues on the horizon.
You know, I think from I wasn't alive, of course, 1920s or 30s. My dad was. He knew something about the Great Depression. My grandma told me some things about it over the years. But I think America, over the last several decades, have begun to think that they're bulletproof financially, that, you know, we'll get through somehow. Somebody will be fixed it. Somebody will take care of it. In 2008, the recession in 2008, it got bailed out. It did. That's how they got it. They just printed more money and bailed up banks and everything, keep them rolling. So people thought, well, it's fixed. We're back into it again. That's been 11 years ago. We can fix it again. But Melody, there comes a time when it can't be fixed any longer by printing more money. It comes a time when that just won't work any longer. And I think maybe some businesses are starting to realize that. And people have their eyes open and seeing the business they went into for years closing down, more of them. Maybe maybe we aren't bulletproof. Maybe America's economy can crumble. You know, for so long we've had it made. But it is going to change.
It is going to change. And the only ones who have any money left in this world are the baby boomers. but they think that they're secure. There was a report out earlier this week, and it was from a local station, KTRE. I'm not quite sure exactly where they're located. But they were talking about the traditional pensions and how it's shrinking. And now the federal government has made it easier for employers to get rid of them. And this move will be affecting retirement security for millions of workers. And the Treasury Department issued a notice allowing employers to buy out current retirees from their pensions with a one-time lump sum payment. Now, this only happens if the retiree agrees with it, and supposedly that this decision reverses a previous ban on this practice because over the fears that the lump sum payments often shortchange the seniors. So, you know, these pensions are supposed to guarantee an income. Here's just another way for businesses to get out of these obligations, because these pensions are expensive to maintain. Big liability.
Absolutely.
And we know how underfunded a lot of these pensions are.
And what business can guarantee anything 50 years in the future?
They can't. Absolutely.
Really, they can't do it.
They can't do it. You know, so it's...
But as scary as it is, it is scary.
Yes.
It is. I'm sure you know people that if they lost their pension from the companies, they'd be really up a creek because they can't live on Social Security or whatever. They know they can't. So if the companies they worked for went out or went under or cut back on cost, I mean, the mining industry here in West Virginia and other places, some of the senators, including our Senator Manchin and others, stepped in and more or less forced the mine to keep up their pension plans. But how long can they do that? If they had no money, what can they do? They go bankrupt. Then who gets anything? When you force a company to pay something they can't afford to pay, they have to cut off jobs or production, maybe cut down something else. Everybody loses. Again, it's like forcing them to pay higher wages. Who loses? We do. The consumer loses. Always the consumer loses. I don't know why people can't grasp that idea. Government doesn't produce anything to pay anything. They get it out of our pockets and pass it down to the consumers. You make a business pay a higher tax, they say, okay, we'll pay the tax. Just add $10 to that item. You know, so, Melody, when will America learn that you cannot tax businesses or make them do anything that they don't want to do unless the consumer pays for it? When will they learn that?
When they're hungry.
I suppose.
When they're hungry.
I just a marvel to me.
And when they get tired of it. Because it, you know, they've seen it happen time and time again, and it always comes back. But you know, each time it comes back with a less standard of living. Has anybody noticed that? Sure, it comes back, but you weren't
not like it was.
But not like it was. So how far do we have? But here's an interesting headline.
Cortez will save us.
Yeah. Hey, Southwest Boeing. Southwest Boeing 737 MAX reportedly made an emergency landing at the Orlando International Airport. I thought they grounded them.
I thought they did, too.
Now, this is a breaking story. There's nothing else, but it's just a headline. And it says the story is developing, and all it says is the Boeing 737 MAX made that emergency landing. So, yeah, I thought they were grounded.
Unless it's an out-of-country flight flying into the States. I know they're grounded here.
Well, it's not Southwest. Southwest don't fly outside the country, I don't think. Southwest.
I have no idea. That's interesting. I mean, Trump himself grounded them. You know that.
I thought so.
He did. I don't think he lifted it. I don't think he has. Boeing's still trying to prove that the planes are safe. And I'll tell you what, if Boeing doesn't turn this around, this could hurt them a lot financially. You know that.
Of course.
It already has.
Yes, it has.
And,
but you know what's interesting from what I've heard? It really wasn't Boeing. It was a switch or an indicator or a panel or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But the people who purchased the planes chose not to have it, I guess, in a cost-saving measure. So the pilots were not properly trained
on what to do if this, if it did happen. They weren't trained extensively to understand what to do if this device went out of order. They could actually manage to control the plane, but they weren't told how to do that. So that's what caused a couple crashes.
So who's really responsible? The airline or Boeing? Boeing had the...
I don't know. Good question. But, maybe a little bit of both. Now,
perhaps.
Boeing said they're going to put those standards on all the planes so that they'll have switch on both sides of the plane instead of just one side. They're going to put both the standard equipment on the planes. So maybe they should have done it in the first place. I really don't know. But they always go back.
If it was that critical, it should have been there in the first place. Yes, I agree.
That's the point. That's the point. So I don't know about that. Different direction, though. I want to ask you this because you're the financial advisor here. It looks like May may not get her deal with the Brexit. They said the pound slid. I guess it dropped in value because of this deal that may not go through. And this is really, I guess, getting kind of scary over there because they're preparing for a lot of different problems, riots and everything else. But the pound slides, I know it means it dropped in value, but how bad has it been? How bad could it be?
You know, it could go in free fall, I guess, I suppose. I don't think it's going to go there. It could be bad, like, you know, we had it when our dollar was falling out of bed back in 2008, 9, and 10. So, I mean, I really don't follow the pound. If you want me to start following the pound, I will.
The reason they said that is, with the economies are interlinked, I don't know if that would affect anybody else.
Well, of course. I mean, London is the biggest financial
there you go.
In the world, city in the world. So, and plus they carry the derivatives, and I think that's what's really important. And, you know, coming out of the UK is the amount of derivatives those banks hold and so forth in England. And we'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. What's next, Butch?
Well, this article, I think, it's sad and it's amusing at the same time, perhaps. But San Francisco's super rich dominate a widening U.S. wealth divide. Now, you got to listen to this two paragraphs because I think this is above my head as far as finances. San Francisco is one of the few places in America where software engineers who earn hundreds of thousands of dollars a year routinely suffer the indignity of accidentally stepping in a steaming pile of human feces as they exit their crappy, overpriced one-bedroom apartments in the Mission District to grab a $20 burrito and a $10 latte. That's part of San Francisco's charm. After all, there's a reason it is, by some measures, the most unaffordable major city in the country. And while the gap between the middle class and wealthy is widening, it's pretty much every American city. San Francisco's rich tech industry elite continues to lead the way. Now, I want to read these figures to you, Melody, and these are so far high above me as far as earnings-wise, it's hard for me to understand. According to Bloomberg, the gap between the city's super-rich and the middle class, whatever that means in San Francisco, widened in 2017 by $118,000 to $529,500. That's 2 years. It went up from $118,000 more average to $529,000 more. Now, this is the part that really struck me. On the average, the city's top 5% earners earned $623,310 in 2017, compared to $102,785 for the middle class. Melody, the middle class earns almost $100,000 in San Francisco. That's where I live, earns nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. How do they call this middle class? Are the people in San Francisco so wealthy that $103,000 is considered middle class? Is that average?
Well, I mean, it's just the cost of living there that's so expensive.
Well, that's what they earn, though. It says that's what they earn.
Well, yeah, but I'll guarantee you that $130,000 that they earn, their living expenses is probably $125,000, you know.
But I don't doubt that.
You know, it's just like living in New York.
How in the thunder, though, can they call that middle class compared to Maryland, Pennsylvania, West Virginia? I'd say middle class here is probably what, 40 to 50, if that much?
It's all relative to where you. It's all relative to where
it
you
is.
Live.
It has to be. It has to be. Wow. I'm blessed not to live in a place like San Francisco because I certainly couldn't afford to live there. But the average.
Well, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to make that money and live there and pay what I pay and walk out on my way to get my coffee and have to worry what I step in.
You know? A $10 latte and a $20 burrito. Wow.
That's yeah.
That's amazing. And a different topic, but along the same way, 50,000 warehouses. To use 4 million robots by 2025. Doesn't 2025 sound like a long ways off?
It does.
When it's only about 6 years.
That's correct.
It sounds like it's forever away. But there's a chance you and I may live to see that. But more than 4 million commercial robots will be installed in over 50,000 warehouses by 2025, according to the report by ABI Research. The 50,000 figure represents a massive expansion of the market from the current situation in which an estimated 4,000 warehouses were found to be using robots in 2018. Going to have 50,000 warehouses using robots by 2025, 6 years from now. Global production of the adoption of warehouses and robotics will be spurred by an increasing affordability and return investment of a growing variety of infrastructure-like robots, as they are an attractive and versatile alternative to traditional fixed mechanical automation or manual operations. So, 4 million robots, would that mean they're doing 4 million jobs or more? Would that mean less manual work for people that work there? I'm just wondering about that.
Does
that mean less man hours?
Well, of course it does. You know, and again, this is something that our country is not prepared to address. So, I these are dates 6 years away. What do you think is going to happen between now and then? You know, do you think people are just going to sit idly by? Do you think that they're just not going to adjust things before all these changes take place in the employment sector? In the job sector, no one's talking about, 20,000 jobs was created in February. I'm sure they'll adjust for it in March or April. You know, they're gonna, come back with probably a stronger number and saying, oh, now that the investigations are over, we're focusing on trade and everything like that. I still don't even think the new rewrite of NAFTA has gone into effect. I don't see reading anything that it's been voted on and ratified. And yet that supposedly was done back in by the election. I remember going into the election campaign year, everybody was talking about tax reform part two. Where's that?
I agree.
So...
And with the first tax reform, remember, I got excited. We're going to have more money in our refunds, and they found that they really didn't have more money in refunds. So,
and luckily, for people, not corporations, but for people, for citizens, the tax reform is over. How many more years do we have left? Seven. So if you think that you're saving on your taxes now, I bet we can't wait until it falls off in 8 years, 7 years now. So,
well, don't worry. We'll have UBI for everybody by then.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course we will. And another issue I think kind of interesting. Purdue Pharma reaches a $270 million settlement with Oklahoma in an opioid crisis case. There are over 1,600 cases right now open from states and counties and cities against pharmaceutical Purdue, for one, about the opioid crisis. And it's nationwide, Melody. It's everywhere. It's big here in West Virginia. Opioids are, oh my, they're big, big time. And I guess pharma did play a part of that because they did manufacture them, but doctors prescribed them by the millions because I guess the easy way to do it and make money up from it too. But how many people are hooked on opioids right now, and the pharmaceutical company here, $270 million paid out just Oklahoma alone in OxyContin situation. So that's big. Do you think it'll change anything drug wise? It's gotten so bad now that in our state for a while they were giving away free needles. Go ahead.
$270 million is peanuts compared to what they've made.
There you go. That's exactly right. But, in this state for a while, the finest people got the sense about them. They were giving away free needles to drug addicts so they wouldn't shoot up with a dirty needle. And in order to get more, they had to bring the old ones back where they weren't doing it, but they were still getting them out. And now they said, they're not going to do it any longer. But isn't that like giving a drunk a fit of whiskey so they only bring back the empties?
I don't know if these signs, how long have we had these problems and they were always just, behind the scenes and now they're being brought out into the forefront. It's in our everyday populations. It's going into families that, maybe it was one part of society that at one time affected more than the other, but now it affects all parts of the society.
Everywhere.
Yes. And so it is changing. And I do have issues. You can look at so many different ways to try to address this problem. But to me, to fix these problems, You just have to hold people accountable.
Accountable. I agree.
Not paying some $270 million fine. What's that going to do? You're just paying half of that money is going to go into some politician's pocket.
Or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer. So, I mean, it's certainly not going to trickle down, except for those people who still believe that things trickle down. So hold people accountable. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Well, it's like Remington being sued because you manufactured a certain gun. Really? Their fault? How come Ford's not being sued for making cars because they ran over people, drunk drivers?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same reasoning here, folks.
It is.
They're blaming somebody for manufacturing a piece of merchandise. I took a baseball bat and killed somebody last week. Why don't you sue the baseball bat companies are now? Sue them or a knife manufacturer. It's the same thing. They're passing everywhere but back to where it counts. The one that did it need to be punished for it, and not slapped on the wrist, but punished even with death penalty if necessary for slaughtering people. There's no excuse for this at all. None. But that's just a whole different issue, I guess, Ken, too. But it makes me angry that manufacturers who manufacture good products, and they're misused, mm-hmm. and they get blamed for it.
And they get blamed for it.
That's really a shame.
I know.
And this is kind of interesting.
In that same vein where, you know, people are not held accountable, there is a report, this is from the Daily Caller, where the Social Security Administration officials paid nearly $42 billion to about 500 dead people in three states. Okay, this was a general audit that was released this month. Around 70 million people received more than $1 trillion of economic assistance through Social Security programs in fiscal 2018. The Social Security Administration.
How many people got that?
70 million.
$1 trillion.
$70 million. Social Security Administration identified 160 individuals who had possibly died, with 57 from Michigan, Maryland, and I can't see what the other state was. Okay, so great. Texas was the other state. Texas audit found nearly 25 million Social Security payments that were given to 336 people and 18 representative payees who died in the state during the 2016. Okay, who's responsible for that? These are people who have jobs. Aren't you accountable for your position? Oh, gosh, not in today's world.
No,
you're working for a government agency. No one's ever held accountable there.
They may have been reared in a bad environment. That's not their fault.
That's not their fault, yeah. So, I mean, it's just
another case. We're
laughing,
but it's not funny.
Okay, it was done. This happened. So stop it. Okay?
Fix it.
Stop it.
Fix it. Yes. Yes. Yep.
What do you think about the fact that
for some reason or other, Melody, we've lost the idea that somebody's got to be responsible, just like Smollett and what he did. He should be responsible, absolutely. Maybe he was tricked into it or paid to do it. It makes no difference. He's the one that did it. You know? Oh, well.
Different, for three, four hours. I hear you.
Sad. And the House could not override Trump's veto. You know that. You saw that already.
Yes, I did.
So the United States Emergency stands, and the Pentagon just sent $1 billion to build, I think, 200-some miles of wall. So
I saw where it was $1 billion for 57 miles.
Oh, 57. Maybe I thought that was. You're right. I'm thinking about something else. You're right. Absolutely right.
So, which I thought was a lot of money for 57 miles.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. Remember, yes. Yesterday we talked about the Prime Minister of Israel going back to Israel quickly, unannounced, he did go back, and they met with his war room, so to speak. He's already started, he bombed Gaza, and it's heating up over there right now. The violence is heating up, and he went back for that purpose, obviously. And he said, we will do what is necessary to defend our people and defend our state. I can tell you, we are prepared to do a lot more. Interesting.
Yeah, that is really, yep. Well, until he gets elected, and then until he gets elected again, and then he'll back down.
You mean politicians are the same over there as they are here?
Oh, really? Think?
Imagine. Well, imagine. But you know they have something. And Europe may sound better. Said sick of human politicians. A quarter of Europeans prefer an AI government. I'm making this up. It said more than a quarter of Europeans would rather have their country's important political decision made by artificial intelligence than their elected and unelected human officials. What do you think about that for moving into the mark of the beast technology?
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow. I mean, wow. Right in your face. Gee. Now the Department of Justice concludes that Obamacare is unconstitutional and should be struck down. I guess you know about that also.
Mm-hmm. So, sure did.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I agree with him. Shouldn't happen in the first place. But it did. But thanks to McCain, we got it, right?
Yep.
So, I don't mean to take every program, but these things are just, I think, vitally important. And one more thing here. Greenpeace co-founder says that global warming is a complete hoax and a scam, but they're doing it because they're getting money, getting paid to say these things, and they're making money off of them. The environmentalists are actually scraping from our tax dollars to make money to fight global warming. And Greenpeace co-founder said this is all a scam. It just didn't happen. It isn't true. But you know, Patrick Moore said it's just a way of corrupting what they try to do, what's right, and make money off of it. Imagine that.
Imagine. Any other good news?
Yes, ma'am. UPS. UPS going to send nurses for in-home vaccinations. Here we go.
That I couldn't figure out.
And Meals on the Wheels. 27 states have legalized eating roadkill. Why could we do it here all along? Big deal. But anyway, go ahead. I'm done.
800-375-418. If you're done and having your government steal your hard-earned money, convert those fiat dollars into some real money, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilford and Dave Allen will be returning. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.